Blog Talk Radio.
And I wish somebody so would.
It's on fire!
Oh.
It's on fire!
Oh.
Welcome to another exciting episode of The Fire of Love. We know that God is moving by his power and all things are possible through him. We are looking forward to all that God has for us today. We invite you to chime in, and by chime in, I mean... We invite you to listen in. If you need to call in and listen, our guest call-in number is 716. Hold on. Our call-in number is 646-716-9480. Feel free to call in and listen. I do not know if we will be opening the lines or not, but feel free to listen and we see what God has for us today. In the name of Jesus, let us finish out this song, and then we gonna get right into it because God has something great for us. In Jesus' name.
Praying with me, and the people were praying before the service, and I began to feel the burning. Just little by little, by little by little, it started growing, it started increasing, and that little flame became a congregation of the glory of the Lord. It was burning, it was burning, and it's still burning. Jesus said the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent do what? Karen Clark is here, and what an anointing. What a voice, what a gift. And she flew in special to do this song for us tonight. And how many of you have something at home that you're ready to go back and just take it? I said, how many of you have something at home that you're ready to go back and just take it? I didn't say ask for it. I didn't say negotiate for it. Just take it. How many of you got a miracle? You just need to take it. You got a situation in your family. You just going to take charge of it in the name of the Lord. Come on, say, take it by force. Don't even ask for it. It's already yours because God gave it to you. Come on, give Karen Clark a great big hand as she comes to lead us in this song. Take it, darling.
Amen. God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, for another opportunity, God, to enter into your presence with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. God, we come to glorify your name and honor you alone, Lord. We pray that you would be the Lord of this show, that your glory would be revealed in all things, God, and we thank you. Bless every listener in the mighty name of Jesus. And to you be all the glory and all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen, amen. Again, I am Minister Sophie, and you are listening live to the Fire of Love. We have an awesome message, but before we get into the message, I want to thank everyone that takes time to either listen live or listen to the archives. I know we don't say it enough. We love and appreciate all of you for your time that you take to listen. We thank God also for our ministry partners and for my pastor, Pastor Reggie Robinson and Minister Reggie Robinson Sr. and Minister Pastor Tony Robinson, and I know they don't really care about all the title stuff, but we want you to know we appreciate you for sticking by us and praying for us. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. And we just want to thank everybody because we are, and we want you to continue to pray for us because we are heading back to Ndola, Zambia, coming up in June 14th through the 21st. We are in Ndola, Zambia with Team Africa. Minister Tony R. will be ministering to the ladies in a breakout session. Pastor Reggie will be speaking to the men in a breakout session. I, of course, will be preaching the main conference and teaching the leadership seminars. And then, we can never forget our special guest speaker bringing up the rear on Friday night is Prophetess Jennifer Obadiah. And we are looking and expecting God to move in a mighty way. He truly moved last year. And we're expecting him to do greater than that. Then after that, we are heading to Uganda. Not Team Africa. I am heading to Uganda. If you would like to go with me, let me know there so that I can prepare the way and get you a letter of invite. Please, only serious people, if you are not serious, if you are not my friend on Facebook and you are just playing around, I will instantly know it. But if you are interested in going to or hearing more about Uganda, Zambia, or even Kenya, I will be going to Kenya at the end of this year through the middle of January sometime. and we are just expecting God to really move. This is the this will be the first time I've hit three countries in 1 year. I mean three countries in Africa in 1 year, and I just, it's all God's doing. It's not mine. I did not invite myself to Kenya. I got invited to Kenya. And I really praise God. That being said, if you're interested in being a blessing or being a part of what God is doing for Love International Women's Ministry and conference speaking, please email me, MinisterSophie@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook, inbox me at Love International Women's Ministry. We have a page there. I forget the exact email address for that. I mean, Facebook address for that. But you really want to know more, please, please feel free to get a hold of me, and I will be happy to help you with that. And also, we are heading, we will be on a brief hiatus so that I may say goodbye to a very dear friend. And no matter how much you live for God, no matter how much you minister, nothing prepares you for that day when you have to say goodbye to a friend. But I praise God for every minute, and I get the opportunity to minister, I mean to sing, to honor her request and sing at her memorial. So there will be so we will not be on the air, and we will not be back on the air until May 2nd. But we invite you to listen in to all the previous shows. There are some messages on there. Some of you probably don't listen, don't check them out, but they are there. Feel free to listen to all of them. There are some messages that we will soon be removing. So if you are listening and you are a part of the Pop Talk audience, we want you to know we will be removing those audios soon. So if you'd like to listen to those, or if you would like to have those, inbox me. And I'll tell you what you can do to have those in your permanent library. Announcements and all this is out of the way. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. And our message today is standing unashamed. God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you once more, God, for every opportunity, God, we have to lift you up, God. Hallelujah, God, we pray that you would be glorified in all we do, in Jesus' name, God. Bless this message. Anoint my lips for your glory. Let what I speak be your words and not my own, in Jesus' name. And also, before I get into this, I want to take a minute to thank the Jesus Ministry Global for having me. It was an awesome time. I really enjoyed myself, and if you would like to have me back, just inbox me. I will be more than happy to do it. But right now, I was on Facebook yesterday, and if anybody who knows me, you've heard part of my testimony more than once, and I'm not going to go into all of it right now, but one of the things I try to teach as a result of all I have been through is that ministers should walk in integrity. And that ministers, well, actually, and not just ministers, but actually anyone in leadership, or whether you're the usher, the person who takes offering, whether you're just the gatekeeper, whether you're the greeter at the door, whoever you may be, or if you're just a saint on the pew, people are watching you. Your testimony matters. And it is not always, yes, I'm getting ahead of myself, I can feel it. It is not always about how much you think you know. It's not always about how good you look. It's not always about how saved you think you are. It's about what people perceive you as. Are you a living testimony? Hallelujah. Are you really, really that light that shines no matter what? And again, our message is standing unashamed. The scripture is taken from Romans 14:16. It says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Sometimes in life we face certain situations that we have no control over. And while we can't avoid them, our actions our actions leave a lasting impression that may in fact taint our testimony, whether we are in ministry or not. And again today, I want to speak on standing unashamed in all things. And one of the first messages, I mean, one of the first things that comes out of Paul's mouth when he is addressing Timothy, well, not when he's addressing Timothy, but one of the first things that he tells Timothy to make sure that the deacons and those desiring the office of a bishop, bishop in layman's term, according to the scriptures, is a pastor. A pastor or someone in high authority in the church. A deacon is more like a minister or a deacon in today's terms, or someone else in leadership. And the first thing he says if you desire us, and then it talks about how one of the things that he lists as a high priority is that a bishop must be blameless. What kind of testimony are you living? What your life looks like at home, is it the same life that it looks like when you are in the church building, when you go into the grocery store? Are you telling off those if you're telling them off, cussing them out, what they remember Then you got the nerve to go and hand them a church flyer, thinking they're going to want to come and hear you preach. I don't think so. Or when they do come and hear you preach or come to hear you sing, do they hear you yelling at your worship team? Do they see you getting off the platform to yell at one of the people sitting on the front pew? What kind of life are you telling them? What are you telling them? And I'm not outside of my subject, because one of the next verses talks about your reputation. What message are you sending to the person who comes to visit your church and they see you yelling or excusing the praise team to go and sit down while you and someone else continue singing, embarrassing everybody on the platform? Then, to make matters worse, the pastor's yelling at them because you sat them down. How does that look? What is your life like at home? If you can't stand your husband at home, then you go and preach in the pulpit or sing in the pulpit. What kind of, well, I should get off that subject, shouldn't I? But 1 Timothy, so y'all know I'm in the scriptures, I'll read it to you. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband or wife nowadays of one wife or husband. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable means, how's your hospitality? How do you treat people when they come to your home? Able to teach, do you understand what you're teaching? Or are you just picking a subject, reading the scripture, and assuming that you know what you're talking about, but it has nothing to do with what's going on? I didn't say that. Y'all did not hear that from me. Not giving the wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his house well, and having his children in subjection or under submission. Now, here's a question that Paul asked. I didn't ask this question, and we're talking about standing unashamed, so I'm just reading this so y'all don't think I'm picking on anybody today. For if the man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? This next one, when it says not a novice, that means not a new person, someone who doesn't even know what the scripture says, but you got them up there running, you got them in high authority running a church. And somebody is like, well, what is the point of her teaching or preaching this today? What is the point? My point is what kind of message, what does your life look like? Because people are watching you. They're watching your actions. Just like a little baby imitates everything they see their parents, sister or brother, or anybody that comes into their house, that baby is watching their actions. What kind of testimony are we saying when we go out on the street? People done heard us fighting with our brother or sister. They've heard us arguing with our mom and dad. They've heard us arguing with our spouse, arguing with the, you know. And then we got the nerve to get on the platform and get behind the pulpit and say, children, obey your parents or honor your father and mother in the Lord, and this is the right thing to do. You preach at the children, but you forget that part that says, parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke them to anger. Your kids out there partying, your kids out there getting in trouble at school, what message are you sending them at home? It's your fault. And can I just be real? I'm talking about standing unashamed. Is your testimony, is your report at home one of a good reputation? Can your wife sit in the congregation and back you up when you're preaching, or does she cringe every time you talk about how nice you treat her? Are you lying in the pulpit? What about not giving them to filthy lucre or money? Are you embezzling the funds that are designated for the church? Are you sneaking into the till to take that money and go have fun for yourself? Funds that should be going towards the church. I'm talking about standing unashamed. And some of y'all will probably never listen to this show again, because every time you get on, I'm talking about something that pertains to leadership. But I have sat on both sides of the spectrum. I remember being a leader to young women, and this is at one of my former churches, and I was being yelled at and humiliated, and I would unknowingly, I would turn around, and I would treat my young ladies that I was ministering to the same way. And yes, when I came out, I had called all of them, as many as I can find, and I apologized because I was treating them the way I was being treated. What kind of testimony are you living? And what kind of mark are you leaving on your leadership? It trickles from the head down, standing unashamed. Do people, when you mention the name of your church, do people say, oh, I want to go there? Or do they say, oh my gosh, you go to that church? How can you go there? You really think I'm going to go there? They force people to go to the altar. You don't want to pray, but they'll make you go and pray. Or if you're doing something, they embarrass you. I'm watching you get embarrassed, and you want me to come back and visit your church? What I'm talking about, standing unashamed. Is your message all about you, or is it all about God? is your message all about you, or is it all about God? You know, because the Bible talks about giving thanks and glorifying God in all things. And since the Bible says, let not your good be evil spoken of, it's a pretty good guess if they're talking that way and that bad about the church, they must be talking that way and talking that bad about you. What do the members have to say about the way you run your services? Are they staying there out of fear, or because, or out of respect? Do they really respect your leadership? Because if they are operating out of fear, then God is not truly moving in your church. And if you notice that your leadership is trickling and your membership is dropping, and you are not haven't done anything to find out why, I've come to tell you why today. It's because of what they are seeing. If we are going to stand unashamed, if we're going to have a good reputation, we can't just do it. We can't just preach it. We've got to live it in our everyday lives. People are watching us. I am speaking as someone who has sat on the pew. I'm speaking as someone who has been humiliated on the worship team. I'm speaking as someone who has been sat down. I'm speaking as someone who has invited people to church to hear them tell me why they won't come. And another key to knowing that you are no longer standing unashamed is when you see your members no longer want to bring their friends to church. What kind of testimony are you living? Pastors, leaders, saints, you are shacking up, sleeping with Brother John, Brother Joe, and Brother Susie and Sister Susie, or Brother Joe and Brother Larry are shacking up together, and Sister Taylor and Sister Toby are shacking up together, and I don't mean living as roommates. People in the city, they know, and then invites them to come and visit your church, and they see those same people on the platform and on your piano. And we're talking, and you're preaching about living a saved and spirit-filled life, and preaching about all the things that God hates, and you got them on the platform. I'm talking about standing unashamed, and shame on anyone in leadership or on a worship team, and you know you're living something, you're living a lie. And you're up there singing praises to God, knowing that the Bible teaches that it's a stench in God's nostrils. I'm talking about standing unashamed. I have seen it from the pulpit to the door. I sat under a preacher that for over 20 years had been raping women and molesting children. And it's rumored that he had even murdered someone buried them under the church, and got away with it. Yet he was still preaching. What kind of message are we sending to the world when all of this is, and we, you know, and we're just sitting in the congregation, oh, praise your name, Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, while the Spirit of God may be moving, and we know all this is going on, you've heard all the rumors, yet he's up there, they're all just lies. And you're sitting in the congregation, you know the truth, and you're still backing him up. What kind of message are you sending to the people that are on the street when you invite them to the church and they know everything that's going on in the church with the pastor? You know, they know exactly why the pastor and his wife got a divorce. They know how long the pastor and has been having an affair, and you're the last to know. And you're the last to know, honey. You saw the signs. You heard all the warnings. You just didn't want to know. I'm talking about standing unashamed, and I'm not going to keep you much longer, but if the Bible is telling us, we are living in a time, if you look at the signs of the time, there's coming a day, and I'm not one of those people that is always bragging about the signs of the time, but the Bible talks about false teachers and those that will be deceived. And you know, if you're falling for the lies now, you are going to be deceived because you don't want to know the truth, or you know the truth and you still back up a lie. If you're backing up that lie, it's going to be that much easier when they say, if you just take the mark, you'll be able to buy anything you want. Oh, just acknowledge that he is the Messiah, when you know deep down in your heart that Jesus was the Messiah. You've been in Sunday school all your life, brought up in church. You know what's right and wrong, yet you choose to live. Well, I'm not going to go there. But we need to guard our heart. We need to be able to stand unashamed and unapologetic. You know, I'm not going to apologize if I'm rubbing somebody the wrong way. I'll probably do it again when I come back in May to rub somebody else the wrong way. But we've got to know what our testimony is. And we can't be faking a fake testimony. We can't be saying we love God and we living like the devil. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee and know what flavor it is. Because if we are not going to stand for righteousness, if we are not going to stand when everything in the world is changing, I'm going to say it. Don't come to me and ask me to perform a gay anything. It is not going to happen. I will not do it because I want my testimony to matter. I want God to be exalted. When people hear me, when people see me on the street, if I'm in Africa, I want them to know that I am living the life I preach and sing about. And if I can't live it, I've got no reason to preach it. Why witness to somebody something that you don't believe in? If you're going to live a lie, don't invite somebody to come and be a part of your lie. Let's just keep it real. Don't go next door and invite your next door neighbor to come and worship God with you, and you've been arguing and fighting with your spouse. What is wrong with you? Especially if you cuss. If they see you taking a keg of beer or cases of beer into your house and hear you smell it when you're getting high, and if you or having your midday flings while the wife's at work and you've got your door open and they can hear all of that, don't go next door and invite them to church, because you're inviting them to invest in your lie. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You need to check yourself. Check who you really are. If you are a minister and you're truly standing unashamed, people will know it. Just like they know when you're sinning, they will know when you are living a separated life, holy and acceptable unto God. And my prayer every day is that I would live a life that will reflect the image of God. Is my life something that God can accept, or is he going to spew me out of his mouth? That is something we need to be aware of. Your prayer needs to be, God, search me. I don't want to be a lukewarm person who he will spew out of his mouth. I don't want to have lived a lie, preached on the pulpit, and lived in sin. What was Humpty Dumpty doing on the wall? Humpty Dumpty knew that the safest place for him to be was on the ground. But what was Humpty Dumpty doing on that wall? He was between two worlds. And he, before he could make a decision that would have saved his life, he fell off the wall. I believe Humpty Dumpty is like many of us. God has called us to righteousness, but because things get hard, we want to examine what the other side might look like. Or we begin to think, I had it better out in the world. Stand for righteousness. What was Humpty Dumpty doing on the wall? He was at a place of indecision in his life. It's a place all of us come to. You will come to a crossroad, and it's time for us as Christians. It's time for us as leaders. I don't care if you're a saint on the pew or a leader in the church or a pastor, whoever you are, it's time to stand unashamed. It's time to stand for what you believe. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Another scripture says, for if judgment will first begin in the house of God, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? It starts with us. We need to stand for righteousness. We can't just talk about living a righteous life. We need to live a righteous life. People are watching us. what kind of message are we sending if we choose to preach one thing and live another? I challenge you today to stand unashamed. God bless you. God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for all things, God. We pray that you would bless every listener, God. We pray, God, that we will be doers and not hearers only, God. Help us to search ourselves to know truly, God, whether we are standing unashamed or do we have a tainted testimony. God, what kind of life are we really living? What message are we sending? Search us, God, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. We want to thank everyone that was listening, that has tuned in. We will be on a hiatus next week and all the way up until May 2nd to say goodbye to a friend of mine, a very special friend. And I pray that you will keep us in prayer as we press forward. We are heading to Africa, and there is no telling what all God is going to do this year. But we know we are not ashamed. We are not ashamed of the gospel, and we are standing unashamed and unapologetically in Jesus' name. You have been listening live to the Fire of Love. We want you to remember that Jesus loves you, and so do we. Have a blessed day, everyone. To my friends in Africa, good night. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. God bless y'all. Bye. Mm-hmm.